It's time for the word, y'all. It's time for the word. And today we're coming from the book of Amos. So I'll give you a minute to find the book of Amos. Amen. Amen. The book of Amos. He's considered one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament, and that designation of minor just means the brevity of his book. It doesn't mean the brevity of his ministry and of his prophesying. So we're looking at Amos today. Amen. Amos. And as we look at Amos, we're coming from the fifth chapter of Amos. And I will read a few verses from that, starting from the fourth verse, where it says, "For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live, but do not seek Bethel, nor enter Gilgal, nor pass over to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to nothing. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, with no one to quench it in Bethel. You who turn justice to wormwood and lay righteousness to rest in the earth. He makes the Pleiades, or the seven stars, and Uriah. He turns the shadow of death into morning and makes the day dark as night. He calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. He rains ruin upon the strong so that the fury comes upon the fortress." I read a selection from Amos chapter 5. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. Father, thank you, Lord. I just thank you for blessing us once again to come together to hear your word. My Father, I pray that you have prepared me and are guiding me in the delivery of this message, your message to these, your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 The topic today is looking for justice in all the wrong places. Looking for justice in all the wrong places. As we look at this book of Amos, this is a book of a prophet who was from Judah, but he prophesied in Israel. And God told him to go there because Israel was not doing right. They were not doing right in the sight of the Lord. As a matter of fact, the dates of his prophecy was the late 793 to 753 BC. And it was a time of great prosperity in the kingdom of Israel, in the land of Israel. They were under the leadership of Jeroboam II, who was a bad king. You know, there are some good kings and there are some bad kings. And Jeroboam II was a bad king. Now, Jeroboam, the first one, Jeroboam, was the one who set up idol worship among the people of God, something that ought not to be. And Jeroboam II, who was the 13th king of Judah, he followed in the same way. This was a time of great prosperity in the land of Israel. However, in all of their prosperity, oppression also happened in the land of Israel. Exploitation of the poor happened in the land of Israel, and the rich were mighty. This was a time when luxurious houses dotted the landscapes, while the rich got richer and the poor, they got poorer. God was not pleased. God was not pleased. The book of Kings actually condemns Jeroboam for doing evil in the eyes of the Lord. So therefore, Amos was sent to Israel to prophesy that, that because of all that they had done wrong in ignoring the Lord and following the leadership of a bad king, that, that they would be put down. And we know that in the future, they did go into captivity. They were put down in the future. But at this time, in this passage, he calls them to repent. He has told them during the four chapters about all that they have done wrong, some of the stuff that Judah has done wrong and the things that Israel has done wrong. And now it is a time to repent. And in this fourth verse of Amos chapter 5, we read here very clearly, "For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live." Seek me and live. You know, we all have choices, and our choices dictate our outcomes. And what Amos is saying to the people, that if you want to be free again, if you want to be righteous, if you want to follow the Lord, then seek me and live. But so far, you've been looking for justice in all the wrong places. So far, you've been looking for salvation in all the wrong places. You've been just living the large life and it's doing what you want. But you need to seek me if you want to live, because you are surely condemned for what you are doing. Just as God has brought justice to the pagan nations, he will bring justice to his own nations when they do wrong. This is a lesson for all of us, that we need to be careful of where we look for our justice. We need to be careful of where we look for our salvation. For the Lord says to the house of Israel, seek me and live. But also he tells them where to look, but then he goes on and tells them where not to look. He tells them we're not to look for salvation. We're not to look for justice. Look at verse 5, where it says, "But do not seek Bethel, nor Gilgal, nor pass over to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to nothing." And what he's saying is that he names the names of sacred sites to the children of Israel, sacred sites where they worshiped the Lord, But even in these sacred sites, they were not immune to God's justice, because the people who were in the sites were doing wrong in the eyes of the Lord. When we look at Bethel, we know that this is the place that where Jacob dreamed the dreams of the stairway into heaven. This is the place. This is a sacred site. But also, this was the principal place of idol worship of Israel when King Jeroboam I set up calf idols in the place. You'll find that in 1 Kings chapter 12, if you want to do some cross-referencing for yourself. We also see that Gilgal, it was a place, this was the launching pad when they crossed, the children of Israel crossed into the promised land. They crossed over in the Jordan River at Gilgal. And this was the place where Joshua set up a memorial so that future generations will remember what the Lord had done for his people. This is Gilgal. This is the place. This was a sacred place. But now it had been turned into a do what you want to do type of place. And Beersheba, this is a place that we see in the Bible. We most notably we see it because it's associated with Abraham's travel as he was going to the land of Canaan, to the land where the people of Israel occupied. We see this as a sacred place. But he is telling them, Amos is telling them that when time comes and it gets tough and you are punished for what you have done, don't go to the sacred places, because those sacred places are not sacred anymore the way you think they are. They will not save you, but I, the Lord, will save you during those times. So these are people who are looking for justice in the wrong place. They're looking for salvation in the wrong place. They are doing what they want to do. They have all the comforts of pleasure to just chill and have fun, and therefore they are going to be punished. You know, even talks about later on in Amos, in chapter 6, it talks about how rich they were. It talks about, Amos says in chapter 6, verse 4, you who lie in beds of ivory, stretched out on your couches, eat lambs from the flock, and cast from the midst of the stall, who sing idly to the sound of string instruments, and invent for yourself musical instruments like David. What he's saying is, you are living in the lap of luxury, but still you're not taking care of yourself, your spiritual needs, and you're not taking care of your people. This was a true sense of the haves and the have-nots. Those who had and tried to get more, and those who had not, they did not have anything. So Amos is warning them that this is going to happen to them. And when justice comes to you because of your evil deeds, don't go to the houses of worship, the sacred places, because at that moment, they can do nothing for you. It's the time that it's, as we say in the church, it's time to get right now. You know, don't wait till destruction comes to get right, but it's time to get right now. Amen. Can I get an amen on that? And we go on to verse 6 of Amos chapter 5, where again, he says, seek the Lord and live. Seek the Lord and live. You know, we all have choices, as I said earlier, and our choices sometimes are dictated by our wants and not our needs. We have choices. Seek me and live. When we go to the doctor and we get the report that we're not quite happy with, you know, the doctor would give us some advice to say, if you want to live a long life, if you want to live a relatively healthy, then this is what you need to do. And we have a choice right then. We can keep on doing what we're used to doing, or we can change our behavior. We can modify our diet. We can change our lifestyle, and we can seek to have every avenue to live the life that God wants us to lead. But it's our choice. That's how it was then, and this is how it is now. We need to seek the Lord and live. It is my job just to bring this up to you so you will know, so you can't say that you don't know. And that's what Amos' job was, to prophesy to the children of Israel, just to let them know that God is not pleased with what you've been doing. You've been wrong so long that wrong now seems right. You can't just go on living like that. So that's what he's doing. And he says, seek the Lord and live in verse 6. And he gives the consequences of not seeking the Lord. It says, least he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it with no one to quench it in Bethel. What he's saying is, if you don't seek the Lord and live, then the house of Joseph, Israel, will be overrun like a fire. It will be devoured and nobody can quench it. It's no use going to Bethel, the sacred place, because that can't help you anymore. And we see that did happen much later when they were taken into captivity and overrun by the Assyrians, the house of Israel. Now, the house of Judah was taken into Babylonian captivity for their evilness, but the house of Israel, the country of Israel, was taken into captivity by the Assyrians. You know, God will not let justice escape just because you are his child. Just like our children, we have to chastise them sometimes. We might warn them, you know, once or twice. You keep on doing that, here's what's going to happen. If you keep on doing that, here's what's going to happen. But, you know, there will come a time of reckoning with what's going to happen is going to happen. Amen? Amen. And that's how the Lord is towards us. He's towards us. And he's warning them that at that time, when the Lord just works and allows your evil enemies to take control of your lives, you knew you had a choice to change. You had a choice to be better. You had a choice to change your behavior. You had a choice to take your riches and use them for good things and not just for building bigger barns. You had choices of how to treat others like you would like to be treated. You had choices of how to act, but you did not act upon that way. You look throughout the Old Testament, you see a generation grow up and they are righteous. They love the Lord, but then there will be raised up a generation that knew not the Lord, that they neglected teaching the Lord to their children. And the children just started doing what seemed right, what seemed natural to them, and sometimes evilness seems natural to people. Once you've done it so long, it comes natural, just like lying. You can lie so long that sometimes you can't tell when you're telling the truth. And you're telling a lie. You can't even tell the truth to yourself sometimes. Amen. Can I get amen on that? But as we look at verse 7, Amos is saying that your legal system is corrupt. That's just how corrupt you are. Let's look at verse 7. You who turn justice to wormwood and lay righteousness to the rest in the earth. Now, one reason for God's judgment was for the corruption in the court system. And he uses something that we're not familiar with, is that word wormwood. Now, let me explain what wormwood was back then, and I guess it still is today. Wormwood is a plant. It is a plant that is very bitter. And some would say that it even has poison in it. So it's a very bitter plant. So it says you have turned justice, and let's substitute that word wormwood for bitterness. You have turned justice to bitterness, whereas justice should be sweet. Justice should not be bitter. We should not be afraid to be able to go to court to get justice if we are in the right. But no, justice was corrupt in the land of Israel. Justice was corrupt. And so much so that Amos called it wormwood, called it bitterness. And it also says that you lay righteousness to rest in the earth. Lay righteousness to rest to the earth. And let me use an illustration of that. Imagine righteousness being a coat that you wear. And you're able to put on that coat when you want to, and you're able to take it off and lay it down when you don't want to have it on. So what he's saying is that you have taken the cloak of justice off of you, and you have taken off all pretense of righteousness and have laid it on the ground. You know that when we go into the courtroom to give testimony, we are sworn in to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. However, the judicial system in Israel was ignoring justice to the poor and the needy. This was a time that if you didn't have the money, if you didn't have the influence, it was a hard time to find justice in the courtroom. In the courtroom. I wonder in that famous refrain that we say sometimes in our prayer, and we say that he's a lawyer in the courtroom. Is this talking about this is where justice comes from? Justice comes from the Lord. So you have turned justice to bitterness and righteousness. You have laid it on the ground. Proverbs 21:3 says to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. You can sacrifice all you want to, but if you treat your brothers and sisters wrong, it negates that effect. You can give everything you have to the poor, but you cannot buy righteousness. Amen. You cannot buy having a relationship with the Lord. No matter how many good works we do, that right relationship comes with us believing in God, believing that his son died for us, believing that his son rose for us, believing that we shall have everlasting life through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do righteous and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Quit trying to sacrifice and try to serve the Lord more. Amen? Amen. And then in this next verse, in verse 8, we see why Amos has suggested they seek the Lord, because this verse gives us the Lord's credentials. The one who controls the universe can overturn the injustice of everyone. Amen. In verse 8 of Amos chapter 5, it says, he made Pleiades and Orion. Now, if you're reading from the King James, it might say the seven stars or something. Those are constellations. Those are constellations, groupings of stars in the universe. And what Amos is saying, he made the Pleiades and he made the Orion, and he turned the shadow of death into morning and makes the day dark as night. He calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the face of the earth. Now think about it. If you're going to seek justice from somebody, don't you want to seek justice from somebody who is justice? Don't you want to seek justice from somebody who has control of everything? Don't you want to seek justice from somebody where you don't have to be worrying about somebody throwing your case out of court or trying to send it to another court or trying to send it to another jurisdiction? No, the buck stops here. Here is the one you want to go to if you want to live, if you want to live and do right. You need to seek the Lord, for he is the one who made the constellations. He made the stars. He is the one that made the planets. We are exploring right now in high resolution the planet Mars, but after all, God made the planet Mars. He made all the planets. They are made the way he wanted them to be. God turns the shadow of death into morning. God makes the day dark as night. Don't you know that we serve a God who controls the cycle of day and night? Therefore, we can look up what time the sunrise is going to rise on tomorrow, and it will tell us what time to the minute the sun will rise tomorrow. We can look and see when the sun will set 3 months from now, and it will tell us what time the sun will set 3 months from now. Why does it tell us that? Because God controls everything, and he ordered it in a way that it is consistent. It is consistent. He is the one who calls for the waters of the seas and pours them out on the face of the earth. God controls the elements of nature. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. You know, we are the ones who are disrupting God's plans. We are the ones who are overbuilding, drinking too much water. Therefore, we have droughts during certain times because of overuse, but God plans it in a certain way. But yet, even in the midst of what we do to try and destroy, God has a way of replenishing the earth. We are so thankful, and therefore we are to be good stewards of this earth. Why do we seek the Lord? Because he is the Lord God Almighty. He is the one Almighty, the one who holds salvation in his hand, the one who holds the whole world in his hand. What's the song the children would sing? He got the whole world in his hands. Yes, that is the one that we serve. He got the little bitty children. I don't remember the words, but y'all do. But he got the whole world in his hands. And that's the thing to note, that we serve a God that can control everything, control the days and the nights, can control the orbit of the planets, can control the orderliness of the constellations, so much so that we can use them as a navigational aid because they are consistent where they are. And that is the consistency of God. God is not like people. If you look throughout the Old Testament, Chronicles and Kings, you will see good kings and you will see bad kings. You will see good people and you will see bad people. It was an inconsistent way of living where God is saying, seek me and live. Do we want to live? If we want to live, we need to seek him. We need to seek him with our whole heart. And I like at the very end of verse 8, that very last sentence says, the Lord is his name. Israel, just in case you got confused, just in case you got confused in worshiping the idols of other lands, just in case you got confused about the golden calves, just in case you got confused about the temple of Diana, just in case you got confused by Ethrod and all the other idols, just in case you got confused, Amos says, let me set the record straight right now. The Lord is his name. And this is a consistent message from all the prophets and all the apostles. The Lord is his name. This is a consistent message and a timely message for today, a day when we see that there needs to be improvement in the justice system, a day when we see the oppressed getting poor and we see the rich getting richer, a day that we see that where video evidence is overruled in the sense of somebody want to make another narrative to conform to what they say they saw instead of looking at the evidence. I was so glad when we started having video evidence of the atrocities and the bad things going on in the world, but then to see people twist them and say, well, it wasn't like that. And just to see that still today, we can still not get justice the way we need to get justice in the midst of the evidence being right there. There are too many who have laid their righteousness down to the earth. They have ulterior motives of keeping themselves rich and keeping themselves in power. And instead of justice for all, it's justice for me, myself, and I. This is what was happening in Israel during the times of Amos. And my question is this what is happening today in our times? It is not too late to seek the Lord and live as it was back in Israel times. It is still like that today. That's what makes the Bible so timelessness, the timelessness of the Bible, so timely of the Bible, is because we see individuals who live lives like people live lives today. But yet we see individuals who did bad, but converted and came to God and lived. Yes, Israel would later be punished. They would be punished in a mighty way. They would be overrun by the Assyrians. And their best people were taken to Assyria to serve while the others suffered in Israel. But yet God did not allow that to be the end of Israel. For Israel did come back. That's the God we serve. And no matter how bad we've been, no matter how long we've been locked up, there is still redemption. No matter how unjust things might seem, there is still redemption. No matter how rough it might seem, there is still time to seek him and live. God bless you. I certainly pray that this message has been inspiring and informative as we look at Amos, and I encourage you to read Amos. It's a very powerful book. It's a very powerful book about a prophet who goes to Israel, like the other prophets who go to their respective destinations and tell the people that God is not pleased with your activities. And you do have a choice. Today is still the same. God is not pleased when we do not seek him. When we seek our solutions in other avenues, God is not well pleased. So therefore, I implore you to seek God and live. Quit looking for justice in all the wrong places. Quit looking for salvation in all the wrong places. Quit looking for deliverance in all the wrong places. But seek God and live. God bless you. God bless you.